After last week's sermon that I did, I learned a valuable note that if you preach a 15-minute sermon, everybody's going to be a lot more happy afterwards. Everybody afterwards came up and they said, you know, I could get used to this 15-minute sermon idea. And it won't be that short today, but it will be a short one. Over the past couple of Sundays, we have been studying and going over the series of why we continue in sin, going over those different mindsets and attitudes that we get and that will lead us to sin. We've gone over a lot of different things, and that's why I've made those handouts, so that you guys can stay organized and keep up with all the different attitudes that we are going over. Some of those different mindsets that we have gone over are laziness, forgetfulness, stopped caring, and maybe that it's not as bad as it may seem. And today, we're going to be going over three more attitudes that we may face, and one of them being the main focal point and what really caused me to come up with this sermon. So we're going to begin with one more sin. I'll stop tomorrow. This is a tricky attitude to deal with, in my opinion, because you're dealing with all the people that know what is right, but yet they don't exemplify it. So difficult with me for teenagers at school that, yeah, they know drinking's right, but we're kids. We're allowed to mess up. We're allowed to do what's wrong. Our parents will forgive us. And I feel as Christians, we can some way have the same attitude happen to us. Let's just sin and have fun now, and then repent later. Let's look over at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting in verse 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they are not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. You have made their faces harder than rock, and they have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the deserts shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces. Because their transgressions are many, their backslidings have increased. We cannot be stubborn and indulge in our sin, refusing to return as the people did in these verses here. But instead, we have to stop today and not tomorrow. We tell ourselves that we will stop, but yet we never really do. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So many times we are deep in sin and doing the things of men that we forget what God would have us to do. We tell ourselves that we'll stop tomorrow and just do it one last time. But isn't that what people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol tell themselves? Just one more sip, just one more smoke. I'll be able to stop tomorrow. But deep down inside, they know that they're really not going to stop. They just keep on telling themselves so that they can put it off to deal with their sin another night. Another time I'll deal with it. And we can't get into that mindset of telling ourselves that we'll be able to stop tomorrow, when deep down we know that we will not be able to stop. That's what makes this attitude so dangerous, of falling into the same sin over and over again, never stopping, only telling yourself that you will stop, just putting it off till the next night. With sin, if we know what is right, but we don't do it, it is simply sin. There's no way around it. It's why it is so important to stop living in sin and do what you know is right. and not just putting it off till tomorrow. We find that verse over in James. James chapter 4 and in verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This verse came to our mind every time we were put in a tempting situation. A lot of us probably wouldn't be as tempted. We wouldn't think and know that I know what's right, I shouldn't be doing this, and just turn away from that sin. But yet, for me, this verse has came into my mind at times, but yet I've still loitered and hung around in sin, and even continued to sin when this verse was in my mind. And that's not how it should be. This verse should make us hesitant, think about what is wrong, and turn away from it. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And one of my favorite experiments down in lab that when Miss Dana was back here, the treats, she had us all stand up and get in the chair. When she said, repent, we had to turn around as fast as we could. And just a simple little concept like that of turning away from sin fast can apply to us too, that instead of lingering in sin, we just need to repent and get away from it as soon as possible. Look over in Genesis chapter 39. This is a great story that exemplifies it here. Genesis chapter 39. We will be reading the first 12 verses of this verse. Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, but left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. It would have been so easy for Joseph just to give in and lie with her, as it says down in verse 11, that none of the men were inside the house. He was all alone. And it would have been so easy for him, just nobody would have ever known. But he did exactly what we need to do with sin, and just run away from it. I mean, he even did it with his garment off, and they probably weren't wearing that many clothes, so he probably ran away from her even naked. And if that's what you have to do to run away from sin, by all means do it. We need to get away from sin and not put it off till tomorrow, and just run away from it. Moving on to the next point, blind. Can't see our own sin. In other words, blind, lost in the darkness, not able to see the sin that we're in. When caught up in sin, we sometimes keep walking in darkness or sin. And when this happens, our minds are fogged up and we turn blind to the sin that we are in. We always have to keep our eyes open so that way we can see where we are going. It's hard to see if you're walking in darkness and your eyes aren't even open. Look over in Psalms. Psalm chapter 119. And in verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. This is a perfect example. When we are in sin, our eyes are closed and we're not thinking straight. We should be praying for precisely this, that we may have God open our eyes so that we may be able to see the things that we need to be doing. Over in Jeremiah again, this time in chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and in verse 22. For my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. These silly children, they have no understanding, and they have to be told multiple times what to do. Well, why? Because they don't know any better. Parents always have to instruct their children what to do, because they don't know what to do. And the same goes for us. While caught up in sin, we can get into darkness, and we just need to be told exactly what to do, as a parent will tell their children what to do also. One thing on the computer I like is you can underline things or bold them. And one thing I started doing is I italicize quotes that I have from Mr. Floyd. I seem to use them so much, so I just italicize every quote that I have from Mr. Floyd, and I use them in every sermon. And here I have, he would always say, sometimes you gotta pause for the cause. And I think as Christians, we need to do the same thing and pause for the cause and give ourselves a brain check. Self-examine yourself. We get so caught up in sin at times that we just need to step back and check ourselves out and see where we're at in life, to make sure that we're not walking in the dark. Look over in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and in verse 15. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. We get so caught up in other stuff that we can become blind and not see straight in our lives, caught walking in the dark. And that's why it's so good to just pause in life, step back from where you're at, and give yourself a true self-examination of where you're at as a Christian, to make sure that you're not walking in the dark. It's hard to see what's coming if you're in the dark. You won't know what is ahead of you. John chapter 3. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Verse 19 shows a similar scenario to today's world, how men loved darkness rather than light. The people loved sin more than God. They hated light and were blinded just to look at it. The contrast of light and dark as good and evil. And when in sin, the blind can't see because it's pitch black. And we must learn to walk in the light. Over in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and in verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When you lack these things, you are in sin and darkness. And don't even know where you are going because the darkness has blinded your eyes. Look over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. When you are blind, you cannot see what you were ashamed of, the short-sighted and caught up in sin right now. When we are away from how we should be acting like a righteous follower of God, it's easy to abide in sin because we're stuck in the dark and we're not able to see how we should be acting. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He was able to save them from darkness and bring them back into the light. God will certainly be able to do the same for you, back into his marvelous light. Moving on to the third attitude or mindset that may come over us, and this one is really what caused me to come up with this sermon. Doing what we want to do. When I first came up for the idea of this sermon of why we sin, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, that's easy, we just do what we want to do. And as I study more, that there are obviously tons of mindsets that come over us that can cause us to sin, but I thought, for me personally, one that I struggle with the most is that I do what I want to do at times. And I think a lot of Christians fall into this snare too, that we want to do what we want to do. Those times where we know what's right, but yet we still sin. Times where we get caught up in situations and everything happens so fast, and next thing you know, you're in bed about to fall asleep the night and you think, what happened? You just think, this happens to me a lot, and I'll think, wow, I just gave in to sin so easily because it was what I wanted to do and not what God would have wanted me to do in that situation. It's so easy to judge others when you hear that they have fallen into sin, but yet when put in a similar situation, we'll fall right into that same sin. Why? Because we're all humans and we're going to fall short at times and we're all going to sin. And that is why it's so hard to be a Christian at times, in a constant battle between our will and God's will. Most of the time we pick what we would rather do, but that is what needs to change. Over in Romans chapter 7, where the scripture reading was done from this morning. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, and that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. For if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Verse 15 ties in very smoothly. What we want to practice, we don't do. But what we hate is what we end up doing. And it's so ironic, but it fits perfectly because it shows that constant battle that we are in to stop living in sin. We want to live for God, but yet we end up living in sin. I want to live for God, but at times I end up falling into sin. And that's what it's saying in verse 15, that at times what we want to do, we don't always do. And that just shows that constant battle that we're in against sin of our will and God's will. Look over in John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were doing the things for the wrong reasons. They would rather get praise from men than from God, caught up in sin because they would rather do what they wanted to do, make them look good, but rather than what God would want them to have done. Men love to sin. If we give in to the things of men, it's going to make fighting off temptation a lot harder. If we're just caught up in the things of men and the people of this generation are stuck doing, instead we need to try and please God. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Then also look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. This is exactly how false teachers persuade people, by telling them exactly what they want to hear. If you scratch a dog's ear, obviously the dog is going to love you that much more. But if you are constantly told what you want to hear and do not seek out the truth, it's easy to fall into the temptation of sin because you don't know any better. As it says in this verse, we fall into the trap to false teachers and giving in to their own desires. In other words, doing what we want to do, finding a way to make it acceptable that so we can do what we want to do. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those earthly pleasures or fruits that we are once ashamed of are things that will bring about to us a spiritual death. Most earthly pleasures are things that have little or no spiritual benefit to us at all, and that's what makes it so easy to continue in sin in those things. If you enjoy hanging out with your friends but you know that they're going to have a couple drinks, why put yourself into that situation? That's only going to bring about a spiritual death. And that's one thing that always fascinates me with Christians my age. They know what's right, but yet they'll come up with crazy things that justifies themselves so they can do what they want to do. They know that dancing isn't right, but yet they'll say, well, I won't dance, I'll just stand and watch. And as prom is coming up now, I'm constantly putting the question of, PJ, why aren't you going to prom? And there's just so many things that I could make it so easy to maybe talk my parents into. Well, I could go, I wouldn't dance, but that's not what God would have me to do. Putting myself in a situation that would get me so close to sinning. And so many people will justify themselves so that they can do what they want to do. But really, we should be asking, what would God have us to do? Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned with Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So easy to keep living as your former self, but that is why you got baptized in the first place. You knew the difference between right and wrong, and it's time to start acting like it by putting off that former conduct and start acting like that new man of Christ. The former man would try and endure through sin and put himself into those bad situations and try and do what he wants to do. But the new man now, the man of Christ, you work for God and no longer for yourself. Over in James. James chapter 3 and in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Nobody is perfect. We are all going to stumble at times. As it says in this verse right here, we're going to stumble in many things. We're expected to stumble at times and not be perfect. But you know what? We have spent enough time being self-willed and doing what we want to do. It's time to start being selfless. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 3. For we have spent enough time of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil to you. Stop going with the flow. Stop spending time living in sin. Stop doing what you want to do. It is not what we want to do, but what God would want us to do, as it says over in James. James chapter 4. And in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills it, it's what we should be striving to go for, not what we want to do in life. No more doing what I want to do, but instead what God would have us to do. We're almost finished up with the series of lessons on why we continue in sin. I know I've said this every sermon in my conclusion that I've done so far, but I say it and I mean it, that we're able to take something from this and grow as Christians, that we can see what causes us to sin, so that maybe next time we're put in a situation where we recognize that we're faced with one of these attitudes or mindsets that comes over us, that we will try and avoid it next time. As it says in James chapter 3 and verse 2, we're all going to stumble at times. But by knowing some of these reasons that cause us to sin, maybe it will slow down the number of times that we do sin and may help us to not go into those tempting situations that we would normally go into. Let us not put off stopping sin till tomorrow or continue to be lost in the darkness. No longer what doing what we would want to do, but instead doing what God would have us to do. At this time, we have that if you are not a Christian and you would like to become one and put on the new man of Christ, or if you are a Christian but have not been living the way that you know you should be and caught up continuing in sin, why don't you come forward as we sing this song together.